Happy Wednesday, boys and girls. My name is Jeffrey Scott Mitchell, and I couldn't wait to test out my new lavalier microphone. It came this morning. Yesterday, I had mic problems. Lost about 20 minutes of good commentary. And the pair, I bought a two mic set off, Amazon or eBay, the cheapest one, like $13. And one of them started acting funny, so I threw it away. And I had a little bit of trouble yesterday. So I said, I'm just going to buy another one. Next day delivery. This stuff was delivered at my door before 8 a.m. I paid $45 for it. I paid like three times what I paid for basically the same package of items. Higher quality, of course, they say. They say this is professional grade. It should sound better. Really anxious to test it out. Ain't really got nothing to say, but you know when I say that, what tends to happen. So we'll see. How about it? I really don't want to talk about it. I really don't. I'm in a good mood. I'm happy. I don't want to get caught up in any controversy or, too heavy political talk. That's not true. I do. I really want to talk about the deeper things and things of meaning. I just don't want to get caught up in the, the emotional aspect of it for me or for other people who may be triggered by something that I say. But I will say this. I just happened to come across a short by Jason Whitlock, and who's a conservative Christian, I guess strong Republican, black commentator. I think he's like a sports commentator too. But he showed a clip. It was the first time I saw it. And I'm not saying anything either way. Let me just put that out there. It was the first time I saw it. And it showed the black girl taunting the white girl. I don't even know, Angel Reese and Caitlin. I don't know, whatever. It showed them, her taunting it. And I just want to say, and I didn't see, what the white girl did. I didn't, only thing I saw was this clip. And what she did, she followed the girl around. She followed the girl around. I'm not saying the white girl didn't do it. I'm just saying, I don't know what the white girl did, but I'm going to say this. She followed him around. Now, if it was a simple walk by and did something like that, or tapped the ring or something like that, that's cool. But she followed her around to the point where the girl was changing directions and looking down, and she kept at it. Now, black, white, or otherwise, that's not sportsmanship. I can't condone that. I condone taunting. I condone getting somebody's face. I condone getting maybe that unsportsmanlike penalty or whatever every now and then. Sometimes, your emotions just take you there. But that was a little too much. She kind of followed around too much. And just let me also say that if the white girl did that, she'd be wrong too. I don't know what she did. I didn't see how she did it. I don't even want to speculate. I just know that if that was too much, you gotta crack down on that. And the black girl should have been cracked down. Now, I don't know about the whole thug and this and that meme that's going around. I'm staying out of that. Because I think that social media hype, just like Donald Trump arraignment or indictment yesterday, it's all media hype. It's all hype, triggered one way or another. I mean, not triggered, manufactured. It could be even manufactured. Or, if not manufactured, allowed to grow, to, build up this or that or whatever, because the NBA, the National Basketball Association, it was a resurgence, a major resurgence, when Magic and Bird were in college, and they went head to head. And it was racial. We are racial people. Let's not get around that. Black people against white people, where I come from, That's the best shit in the world. Niggas and hunkies. I don't know. You never hear the word hunky out here no more. I used to hear it on RG Bunker. He say honky. But, I mean, I came from Ohio. It was only black and white. That's all the people's out there. And so I understand that, and I'm not going out killing nobody over it. I'm not getting upset. Most of my past intimate relationships have been interracial. Can I put it that way? I don't want to say with a white girl. But, so I get that part. So this Caitlyn, I think that's her name, Caitlyn Angel Reese thing is a perfect setup for the WNBA. It is a perfect setup for the WNBA, just like Magic and Bird. Just like Magic and Bird. And then Jill Biden inviting both teams to the White House, it just stirs it more. I don't know if she did it on purpose or she just trying to be, you know, she just want to take a knee wearing kente cloths with them. I don't know. But it's perfectly set up. It is almost perfectly set up. The highest rated NCAA championship game, they tell me, for women. You got this going on. You got this little hype going on. You got Angel Reese playing into it. I think Caitlin was like, yeah. And the white girl was like, hey, she's supposed to. Bring it on. You know, I ain't worried about it. What y'all making a big deal about it for? And the whole, one is a thug, one is okay. And I wouldn't be surprised if a black person made that thug thing up. Did any white people say that? Did any white people say that Angel Reese or the black girl was a thug? Or did they just, or did black people create the meme? And if they did, whoever did, it's a perfect setup. You can't be mad. This is America. This is America, capitalism. You got to know how to navigate. Nothing straightforward. People are being less and less coddled. People are being less and less coddled because they can't be protected because of the vast range of social media. So you can't censor things out. You can't filter this out or that out anymore. It's just out there. I watch Rumble. Rumble.com. That's why I go on YouTube because, of, you know, there's some subscriptions there for my Steelers and this and that. But the real stuff, I go to Rumble. That way I can see right-wing commentary and politics, and I can get their perspective. And I can look for liberal. And no, you know what I find on Rumble? Down the middle stuff. Stuff that are pretty much down the middle. Now, of course, you can kind of tell they may lean one way or the other, but their commentary is, a lot of the commentary I find there is much more less biased. And of course, it's not, you know, the main news sources like Fox or MSNBC or any of the, you know, big Joey Bayars or whatever, the Joey Reeds, you know, over there. They're like people who get podcasts and internet personalities who have millions of followers. And they can say whatever they want. In fact, Russell Brand, I've been into Russell Brand lately. He's nailed it, if you ask me. And he says, yeah, you watch the first 15 minutes of this on YouTube, you can take your ass over to Rumble to get the uncensored real deal. Russell Brand was on Bill Maher. Loved that interview. Loved it. Loved what they say, how he did it, how he handled it. All right, so I tested the audio. And there was noise at first. It might be the USB cable. I got to make sure everything is plugged in tight. Everything needs to be plugged in tight. So I got to check that USB cable. I got another one. So if that one's bad, I'll check it. Because I checked the microphone that was making noise yesterday on my other phone, which didn't need the USB cable. And it didn't make noise. I was, you know, doing the cable all crazy. And it didn't make noise. So it might be the cable, or I might need to clean out the plug. But anyway, I go to Russell Brand. Russell Brand is, sometimes he'll go on a tirade, not a tirade, but he'll go on a long soliloquy. I don't know what the word is. He'll just, you know, asking this question and making a statement. He'll kind of go on for a long time. But he does it in such a fashion that it's okay. He keeps the energy up. He keeps going. It seems like he's doing it live, but he's just nailing the words. He gets on a roll. It's like a stream of consciousness. He gets out good information. And lately, well, I don't know about lately, but it seems to me he's going after it. It seems like he's really, really going after it. And by that, I mean that he's like hitting the issues. He's going after, not people, but he's going after institutions and stuff. Another one, Timcast. Timcast is another guy I watch. And I'll turn it on. And this dude, he looks, I don't want to say racist, but you know, he just looks racist, or not all right, but, you know, the skin color, the way he looks, his hat. In the background, he got a gun, like an old Revolutionary War pistol and a sword behind him. And he, I think, even indicates that he is, you know, leans towards the right and Republicans or whatever, or conservative. But he pretty much is kind of keeps it down the middle. There's no, you know, demeaning this group or demeaning that group. He tries to keep it down the middle, and I can listen to him. And on Rumble, there's way more right wing or conservative podcasts and news, not news, but, you know, more right wing. Was it podcasts or personalities or whatever? I don't know. But, you know, I listen to that, and it's good. But this Trump thing, I really do not understand it. I really, really, really do not understand it. People, I don't understand what the big deal is and why some people are so excited and happy and elated that Trump was indicted. And if it's because, if a person is celebrating Trump's arrest and indictment, which, let me say, if people are celebrating Trump's arrest and indictment because they hope that it'll stop him from running for president, that's not how you win an election. That's backwards. Whatever, if you want to beat him, you go out and find somebody to beat him. You don't hope he lose. You don't, that's undermining. That is deliberately undermining. And if it's, and they're trying to find out if this is political, and they try to say George Soros paid so-and-so a pact or something to fund so-and-so if he do this and do that. I was listening to it, and again, I heard it explained on Rumble. I think her name was Kate Iverson or Kim Iverson or something, whatever. I even subscribed to her because I like their commentary. And they explained it. One of them, somebody on that channel explained it. You know exactly what happened. And, you know, how Soros was involved. And it helped me to understand it. Now, if it was political, again, there's no right or wrong, fair or unfair in life. Now, if they can get away with it, they can get away with it. But if your team is hoping to damage somebody so they can't run and beat you, and you can't put a party out there or a person out there strong enough to beat them, that's not how you do it. In my mind, I don't know what the word is, but that's not backwards, or that's just not credible, if you ask me. That's not a credible victory. It's not cheating, but that's not how you put your best foot forward, by damaging the other guy, and you got nobody out there. And I think that's the problem Well, not a problem, but I think that's the situation or issue with the Democrats, is that they need to find somebody out there. Everybody know Biden too old. He might be doing a good job, but you know the optics of it. And we don't know if he's gonna make it through another term. Nobody wants Kamala to be president. I don't even know why, I just don't. It could be my stereotypical programming. I'm not used to seeing a black female in that position, which is valid. All my life, you know, I've never seen that. And all my life, I've seen black females as being this or that, having attributes and capabilities in other aspects of life that literally can't be touched. There's some things black women do that nobody else on the planet can do. I just never thought of it as being vice president. And I have to learn, and I'm open to learning. But in some of those tendencies, I think there's certain demographics or certain demographics stereotypically seem to excel at, like you say, Asians good at math. You know, black people good at dancing. Blah, blah, blah. You know, white people good at killing people. See, and that's another thing. You can say anything you want to about white people. You can say this, say that, say that. No, you can say anything you want about white people, yeah. I can just say anything crazy about white people. But say something wrong, say something sideways about black people. Even white people are going to get mad at you because it probably makes them feel uncomfortable. Oh, my God. Just hearing it. They're probably even scared to just hear it right now. They're so fearful, and that's not good for black people. That's not good for me. It's not good for anybody. Another thing, I saw a sign by my Ralph's. Said, like, something like, one instance of racism diminishes us all. It was something like, you know, one instance, any racism, anywhere diminishes us all. I was like, that's bullshit. That is complete and utter bullshit. No, I don't give a damn if down in Northwest Kentucky, there's racism going on. Black to white to black, whatever. You know, racial tensions or whatever, Jim Crow, whatever. That's there. Here, it ain't happening. And it ain't diminishing me. You got to explain how that diminishes us all. It's a nice soundbite. It's a nice DEI billboard that a corporate sponsor said, hey, we put this billboard up. We're cool. And I don't want to say it, but, and I don't want to be cynical, but yeah, we got DEI. We support that billboard. You know, we feed homeless. We do this, we do that. And the whole board is all white. Staunch white, Republican, racist, white nationalists. But they know how to go ahead and spend a few million dollars on DEI to present the face of their organization. That's all I'm saying. That is it. So, I mean, it's all good. Like I said, I'm happy, I'm good. I got tickets yesterday for P-Funk shows in August. Front row, I'll talk about that later. I mean, like, yeah, because, yeah, I woke up this morning. Actually, I didn't wake up this morning. I set the alarm for 6:45. Set the alarm for 6:45. Because at 7 a.m., tickets go on sale for the two P-Funk shows in Pittsburgh and Cleveland. Set the alarm 6:45. Roll over. Grab my laptop. Got in the queue, it came up, boom. I was in line, boom, I was next in line. Computer went ding, ding. I got in, but actually before I got in, last night or the other night, I Googled Live Nation presale code. Live Nation tells you what the code is. Live Nation tells you what it is. It was either opener or vinyl. So I said, oh, shit, I'm going to have to get up and try it. You know, hopefully it'll work. Opener didn't work. Vinyl let me in. I sat in the queue for 9 minutes. And then I was in the store. Next one up, then I got in. Saw the ticket. There was like four in the front row. I was like, boom, I just hit one. And I hope I hit the right one. I think I hit the one closest to the center. And it came up and I saw the price. I was like, whoa, is that for two tickets? No, and what happened was, when I hit I didn't know if you could buy one ticket, because there were four there. And I hit it, and when I hit it, I looked over in the corner of my eye, during the sort, it says two tickets. It was showing, you know, two tickets. So I saw two tickets out the corner of my eye, which was for something else. And so when I bought the ticket and went through the ticket, I'm like, whoa, this is kind of pricey. I said, maybe I got two. I said, yeah, I guess that ain't too bad for two tickets. Find out I only got one. So, and let's face it, no matter how pricey it was, I was going to have to be there. Because seeing the show in Cleveland, back with the people with rhythm, you know, I can't pass that up. I'd have been sick as a dog if I'd have missed that. So once again, front row, motherfucking center, Jerry Scott Mitchell, Cleveland, Ohio. Then the next day in Pittsburgh, it's Journal Admission. So I made sure I got the Cleveland ticket first. But I did my research. I looked at the seating charts before the tickets went on sale. I said, oh, these people got seats. But Pittsburgh is General Admission. So I get the Cleveland ticket first. And I almost was kind of trying to log on twice, but I didn't want to risk it. And then I did see something that says, don't do that. And I didn't want to risk it. I didn't want to risk getting knocked out of the, hey. I know. I get it. Who, me? Me? So, I didn't want to get knocked out the queue, because when I'm doing that, I do get, you know, kind of touchy and sensitive, and, you know, like, oh my God, nervousy. But I clicked it, I got a ticket, front row. Beautiful, seat number 9, section 2, row A. And I bought that ticket. That ticket is for the 22nd. Or one of them is for the 22nd. And one of them is for the 24th. So the 23rd is an open date. Youngstown just happens to be halfway between Pittsburgh and Cleveland. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. And yesterday, I put it out there. P-Funk in South America. I wanted to put it in the universe. That's all I wanted to do. Because in my experience, and my way I look at life, life works for me. Life works for me. Not that the sole purpose of life is to work for Jeffrey, but life works. If you ask me, does this work? Does life work for you? Just leave it at that. Does life work for you? I believe life works for me. I just, things that I put out there, things that I desire, they seem to come to me. Hey, dude. Things that I like, things that I desire, I put it out there and let people in the universe, you know, worry. I guess they call it the law of attraction or energy or vibration, this and that. And I studied all that stuff. Celestine Prophecy, Lady way back, Donna somebody, I think her name was Donna something, Fug or something, Donna. She turned me on to the Celestine Prophecy. She saw my energy. And this was back before, you know, people were talking about that, the kind of energy and vibration and attraction, well, at least to me. And she sent that to me. I was like, yeah, that is me. And then this was like 1997. Then as things, you know, began to progress, I started to not buy into it, but yeah, buy into it and understand it more, what my energy was and what my energy with this, with books like that, said about people with certain kinds of energy was happening to me. I was like, yeah, I was recognizing my behavior versus the behavior described in these things. Law of attraction and all that. So I was like, yeah. And then it just developed on to where now I may or may not have a command of it, utilize it, and I can use it as a tool. And as you know, a tool is also a weapon or a shield or a protector, whatever. You know, it's an aid to help you, Mayor, get what you want or what you desire. So that was good. It was something else I was going to say along that line. Yeah, that's my energy and the way things go. And, you know, I'll figure out the Funketeers ball. See, the 24th, 25th, 24th, if I get back there, I'm going to have to take a couple of days off. If I get back there about the 23rd, 24th, 25th, and stay, because December 16th is the Funketeers ball, usually 2 weeks is my max. 2 weeks is when I start to hit the wall and need to get home. But I did pretty good last time. And last time, I was under heavier circumstances that had more energy or more weight on top of me and had been through a lot more. So last time, even though I made it through the 2 weeks okay, another thing, I've been making all my appointments. Everything I've been going through, because I had to do the colonoscopy, no eating, busting my teeth out, continually working, just, you know, this and that, dentist, this. And I was making all my appointments. I hung in there. I missed a couple, I had to take a couple of days off because I was working days straight. I had to take days off. They had me working 7 days straight because I had to work Saturday and Sunday, didn't work all the next week. So I took a day off in there, but I made my appointments. And I got through. I made it through. So if I go back to a little bit more healthy, a little less burdened or worn down, maybe that'll help me survive for 3 weeks. Because if I can get back there the 24th or 25th, well, I got to see what when the schedule comes out. What the... I got to... it was a dog out there? It's funny, too, when you walk out on these things all these years, you start to see the same people. And you start to see the same people. Started to see the same people, and the mailman wanted me to check and see if he saw a pit bull out here. I crossed the street because he said he saw a dog out. So I turned around. I came across the street. I crossed the street, and it was like reporting back to him. It's funny too, I've been seeing him for, you know, maybe a year or so, for a while. I've been, because you see the same people when you walk. It is, you know, and you walk for a while, and then you stop or you come back. Then you see the people again. It's, I don't know what the word is, heartwarming or whatever it is. You know, it's nice to see, hey, and they recognize you and they go, hey, you know, long time, blah, blah, blah. So I was reporting back to him if I saw a pit bull out. What was I talking about? What was I talking about? I forgot. Maybe I'll just let it marinate. How about that? I'll just let it marinate. I'm marinating. Trying to let the thoughts come to my head. Oh, I got to check and see when Pittsburgh plays their first game. Because like the 25th, there's Labor Day back there. The 25th of August, there's going to be Labor Day weekend. And Funketeers ball and Pittsburgh's first game. If it's, you know, at the stadium, might, you know, check that out. Because I haven't been to Heinz Field in a couple years. Every time I seen him, I saw him in Cleveland and other places. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And next year, they play like three times out here. I think they play Vegas. San Diego and Seattle or something like that. So I hope one of them games ain't out here when I'm supposed to be back there. Even though school would be back in and airfare would be a lot cheaper. I'll fly back and forth. People do it. Airfare after school gets in September comes down low enough to where you can actually fly back and forth. My lip is healing. That's scab. And I'm doing really good letting that scab just build up and stay dry. And in fact, I was in Ohio. I asked my daughter, did she have any antibacterial ointment? She didn't. So I was using Vaseline. And I was going to get some antibacterial ointment. But then they were saying, no. Let it stay dry. Then yesterday I was going through my stuff. And I actually have some antibacterial ointment. For when I used to get boils, I'd get a boil on the back of my head or a cyst. So I went in there and got it cut off and it ain't came back, which is good. But why was I talking about antibacterials? Well, so I gotta see when Pittsburgh plays, see when you know, the things that's going on back there. And what I would do is I would get a hotel. I would stay with my daughter most of the time, but me and her both agree wholeheartedly and without shame that no matter how good it gets, we need breaks. And I definitely need one. I know I do. I'm Mr. All by myself. Like the other day, Sunday was so good, it was scary. It feels so good to be myself, but be by myself, it scared me. And then I turn around and I'll go out to a P-Funk show or something, hanging out with people, and it'll be so good that it scares me. Something about my life. Something about a life like that. But, what was I saying? Okay, I'm going to marinate. So we'll see. Fly back here on the 25th, 22nd. Well, I'll fly back on the 21st. Fly back on the 21st. Hit the two shows. 25th, it'd be the 2nd, 1 week. The 9th, it'd be 3 weeks to the Funketeers ball. And then after the Funketeers ball, a Saturday, that Sunday, Pittsburgh might be playing somewhere. So, might have to plan it out like that. And of course, working remotely, working in Ohio. Last time I went, I had it set up. I worked in the D.C. office, and it was the coolest thing. I worked in the D.C. office, got off the airplane, literally cut a red eye. Got off the airplane, went in the bathroom, dabbed off, threw on a shirt, and went to work. Drove into D.C., downtown D.C., went to work, hung out with the people. It was like a Friday, so everything was cool. You know, they had food. And I got to meet, you know, people at the, who worked the local at the offices. I got to meet the, and see how the practice office worked, and get and revisit desktop support, what I used to do, what I, you know, actually deployments and carts and moving monitors and hooking stuff up. And it's been a long time since I've done that. And I remember when I was doing all phones. And I have to admit it, I'll say it. It's a good chance the reason I have this job is because I was black. It's a good chance that diversity, inclusion, maybe not the marketing industry part of it, but the idea that my company is that liberal and open to diversity, I think they genuinely are. I think this place genuinely are, because it's sickening. It literally is sickening, if you ask me, but I think that's why I got the job. But as my sister says, that ain't the only reason you got it. Just being black don't get you the job. You got to be black and bring some game. And I know I did. I remember the interview. I know I charmed them, because I was relaxed. Didn't really care about the job, because they told me it was $25 an hour. I was like, yeah, but it's only be for 2 days a week. I'm like, I'll go. That's when I throw in a suit and had nothing to do. Went down there and checked it out. On the way back, they called me. I was like, okay. And I was like, okay, we'll see how this lasts. I ain't had nothing else to do. So, you know, I'll ride it as long as I could. I was 5 days a week the whole time, making good money, which eventually became the best and most money I ever made. So, what was I saying? Diversity, inclusion. Because I was black on the job, working at where I'm working at. Best company, best job I ever had. Maybe not my favorite. Favorite was Artists and Entertainment. Working at an entertainment company, in entertainment business. We had a hit. We had the Blair Witch Project. We had a hit. So it was like magical. It was like purely magical, the things that went on. There was this money flying around, people happy, just all kinds of stuff going on. And in the entertainment industry, they don't hire no ugly people. They don't hire no ugly people. There was some assistants in there. Most gorgeous people you ever seen. I worked with the CEOs. I was in there with the Bill Blocks and the Mark Curcios and your boy from New York. I forget his name. Who else? It was Steve. And what's his name? The vice presidents. I was in there with them. That was my favorite. I remember they had a party. They had like a party for Blair Witch or something. It was like $100,000 party. $100,000 party. And they had transvestites in there. That was back before, you know, I knew anything about any of that. And they had transvestites at the party. That's just how over the top of things got. And by over the top, I meant like a celebratory, you know, just outlandish, you know, just, you know, food, top food, just first class everything. It was good. So that was my favorite job, but the best job I ever had is the one I got now. Pay, benefits, people, my boss. I'm protected. We get along. I've never gotten along with a boss this good before. Partly might be due because of me, my experience. Notice I avoided using the word maturity. My experience and the lessons I've learned and the way I handle people now versus the way I may have handled people when I was younger. But it's just good. It's just good. So we'll see. We'll see. As you can see, it's sunny out here. It's still got my jacket on. It's like about 60 degrees, they say. I be saying, don't let that sunny fool you. I like to be warm. I like to be warm. And I hope I got out early enough to where I can get home and take a shower. Because we have a meeting today. I'm like getting all these clothes. I went to Walmart to get some bleach and mouthwash. Ended up walking out of there and spending $100. You know, $100 ain't nothing. But if you just went in there for bleach and mouthwash, you come out spending $100. That's something. And I bought clothes, you know, my new size. It's so exciting to buy clothes. And, you know, in the medium, it's a medium. In medium size, as opposed to large, and they fit better. You know, it makes you feel better about myself and the whole thing. So, you know, I went in there, go to Walmart, looked to see if they had any clearance items or shirts. You know, grab a couple mediums. And as I started to filter out, some of my older large shirts that's kind of worn out and fit kind of funny. You know, I'll keep too many of them, of course. Just saying, just in case. And a couple of years later, after I ain't worn them in 2 years, I'll throw them away. But I started getting rid of some stuff. And, you know, move some pants here, try that on. But I don't go nowhere. So all these clothes just sitting there. I was like, why am I buying all this stuff? I wear the same stuff every day. I'll take that back. I have 3 sets of clothes. I have my walking clothes that I'm wearing now. And I keep the pants. The pants are consistent. I keep wearing these pants. And they're like all beat up. They're pants that I tried to make skinny jeans. Not skinny jeans, but tapered leg pants. So I cut the seam and I re-sewed it. And you know, I got the look I wanted. And it was fun. Because I got a sewing machine. Which I was going to use to sew up some socks. But I bought a pair. I bought 10 pair of socks for like $12. And these socks are just good. Ain't no sense in me fixing the other socks. But that's just who I am. So I got like a bag of socks with holes in them that I'll fire up the sewing machine one day. Just knock out 12, you know, 6 or 7 pair of them. You know, 12, 13 socks. You know, fix them and throw them back in there. And use those. You know, have those as spares or whatever. And still have my good ones. And I got underwear too that I could probably throw away. Because I got a brand new pack of open underwear. And I got way too many pair. Not way too many, but I got enough. So I ain't really got to wash for like a month. Well, I ain't got to wash clothes for like a month. And I'm due to wash clothes now. Because, in fact, I'm due to wash clothes now. Because a couple of my good pair of black jeans I wore when I was in Ohio last month, they was dirty. I said, all right, I got to wash them. I done wore these out on the airplane, this and that. And so I didn't have a good, clean pair of black jeans. So I bought a pair, $13 at Walmart. And I bought another $18 pair of pants. That's high for me, kind of. In Walmart, they were like cargo pants. I bought those. So, I mean, you know, I'm buying all these clothes and stuff. I don't go nowhere. Then when I travel, I end up wearing the same clothes anyway. So that's just, you know. That's just how I do it. Anyway, swinging on y'all 2 times. For me and for the phone. For every elementary particle that has ever existed in this or in any universe that ever was, is, or will be. The totality of it all. A theory of universe. A hypothesis of all as one. My name is Jeffrey.